Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, so today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 18, Lord Vamanadeva, the Dwarf Incarnation. So we're going to be starting on 21, and we're going to finish the chapter. There's only one verse that has a purport, so we'll read that, and then we'll finish the chapter. Verse 21, while engaged in performing the sacrifice in the field known as Bhrigukacha, on the northern bank of the Narmada River, the Brahminical priests, the descendants of Bhrigu, saw Vamanadeva to be like the sun rising nearby. Text 22. O king, because of Vamanadeva's bright effulgence, the priest, along with Bali Maharaj, and all the members of the assembly were robbed of their splendor. Thus they began to ask one another whether the sun god himself, Sanat Kumar, or the fire god had personally come to see the sacrificial ceremony. So Sanat Kumar must have also been very effulgent. Text 23. While the priests of the Bhrigu dynasty and their disciples talked and argued in various ways, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, holding in his hands the rod, the umbrella, and the water pot full of water, entered the arena of the Ashwamedha sacrifice. So it appears that the people there, they're all arguing about who is this person, you know? Is it sun god or some demigod? Who is this? So 24, 25, appearing as a Brahmana boy wearing a belt of straw, a sacred thread, an upper garment of deerskin, and matted locks of hair, Lord Vamadeva entered the arena of sacrifice. His brilliant effulgence diminished the brilliance of all the priests and their disciples, who thus stood from their seats and welcomed the Lord properly by offering obeisances. Text 26. Bali Maharaj, jubilant at seeing Lord Vamanadeva, whose beautiful limbs contributed equally to the beauty of his entire body, offered him a seat with great satisfaction. Text 27. Thus offering a proper reception to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always beautiful to the liberated souls, Bali Maharaj worshipped him by washing his lotus feet. And now we'll chant this together. Tatpada Socham Janakama Sapaham Tadharma Vinmurd Yadid Hat Samangalam Deva Devo Girisas Chandramulir Hara Murna Parayacha Bhaktya. Tatpada Socham. The water that washed the lotus feet of the Lord. Janakama Sapaham. Which washes away all the sinful reactions of the people. Of the people in general. Sa, he, Bali Maharaj, Dharmavit, completely aware of religious principles. Murdni, on the head. Adidhat, carried. Sumangalam, all auspicious. Yet, which, Deva Deva, the best of the demigods. Girisa, Lord Shiva. Chandamuli, who carries on his forehead the emblem of the moon. The dhara carried. Murdhna on the head. Paraya supreme. Cha also. Bhakya with devotion. Translation and purport. By his divine grace. Srila Prabhupada ki. Lord Shiva, the best of demigods, who carries on his forehead the emblem of the moon, receives on his head with great devotion the Ganges water emanating from the toe of Vishnu. Being aware of religious principles, Bali Maharaj knew this. Consequently, following in the footsteps of Lord Shiva, he also placed on his head the water that had washed the Lord's lotus feet. Purport. Lord Shiva is known as Gangadhara, or one who carries the water of the Ganges on his head. On Lord Shiva's forehead is the emblem of the half moon, yet to give supreme respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shiva placed the water of the Ganges above this emblem. This example should be followed by everyone, or at least by every devotee, because Lord Shiva is one of the Mahajanas. Similarly, Maharaj Bali also later became a Mahajan. One Mahajana follows another Mahajana. And by following the parampara system of Mahajanas' activities, one can become advanced in spiritual consciousness. The water of the Ganges is sanctified because it emanates from the toe of Lord Vishnu. Bali Maharaj washed the lotus feet of Vamanadeva, and the water with which he did so became equal to the Ganges. Bali Maharaj, who perfectly knew all religious principles, therefore took that water on his head, following in the footsteps of Lord Shiva. So there's a few verses left with no purport, so we'll finish the chapter. This is text 29. Bali Maharaj then said to Vamanadeva, O Brahmana, I offer you my hearty welcome and my respectful obeisances. Please let us know what we may do for you. We think of you as the personified austerity of the great Brahmana sages. Text 30. O my Lord, because you have kindly arrived at our home, all my forefathers are satisfied. Our family and entire dynasty have been sanctified, and the sacrifice we are performing is now complete because of your presence. Text 31. O son of a Brahmana, today the fire of sacrifice is ablaze according to the injunctions of the Shastras, and I have been freed from all the sinful reactions of my life by the water that has washed your lotus feet. O my Lord, by the touch of your small lotus feet, the entire surface of the world has been sanctified. Text 32. And the last verse. O son of a Brahmana, it appears that you have come here to ask me for something. Therefore, whatever you want, you may take from me. O best of those who are worshipful, you may take from me a cow, gold, a furnished house, palatable food and drink, the daughter of your Brahmana for your wife, prosperous villages, horses, elephants, chariots, or whatever you desire. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 18th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Vamanadeva, the Dwarf Incarnation. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Gyanatmanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Kutuvachalang Pangam Langhayate Gurim Yat Kripa Tadaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatalanam Vanchikapa Tribhyasya Kripa Sindhu Deva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In the beginning of this reading, we heard how Lord Vamana was very effulgent, glow like the sun. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that how we should think of him. And one of them is just that, that he's effulgent. Kaling pranam anusasataram anor aniyangsa anusmrejya sarvashyadataram achintirubam adityavarnam tamasaparastat. And Krishna explains that this is how we should think of him. It's interesting, Krishna has given us this understanding of how we should think of him. The first thing he says is, he knows everything. Kavi. One of Prabhupada's nicknames was Kavi, because he was a poet. So Kavi also means he who knows everything. So Vamanadeva, Vishnu Tattva, he's Trikalagya, he knows everything, past, present, and future. He knows Bali Maharaj is going to give everything. He knows everything. The Lord is very intelligent, extremely intelligent, knows everything. Prana, he's the oldest. So the form of Vamadeva is nityas, it's eternal. Very old, prana. Anusasataram, he's the supreme controller, controlling everything. Like Bali Maharaj may have been thinking he was controlling things, or Indra may have been thinking that he was controlling things, but actually, the Lord is in control of everything. Therefore, Indra lost everything. Now Bali has everything. Now he's going to lose everything. So it goes like that. People think they're in control, but actually, Krishna's in control. Kaving pranam anusasatam anor aniyangsam anusmreya. That he's smaller than the smallest. Very small. I think this might be the smallest incarnation of Krishna that we know of. Generally, the incarnations of Krishna are, pretty good size, big. Of course, then Vamanadeva, he manifests his big form. He's a dwarf. It doesn't describe how tall he was, but small. But then he increases his size so big that covers the whole universe. Imagine trying to make a deity outfit for a form like that. What is the diameter of the universe? 4 billion miles big. So this is the height of Vamanadeva. Appeared in the beginning small, but then can't imagine how big. Huge. Sarvasya dataram achintya rupam, that he is the maintainer of everyone. Everything is being maintained by the Lord. Everybody is being maintained by the Lord. Sarvasya dataram achintya, his form is inconceivable. Just like I mentioned, this form, 4 billion miles high, it's just inconceivable. How is that? And then there's another form, much, much bigger than that. Mahavishnu. Universes are emanating from the pores of his body. And this is a small universe. Big universe. Achintya. So the Lord is Achintya. And this form of Mahavishnu is an expansion of the form of Krishna. Achintya Rupam. Adityavarna means that the Lord is effulgent, very effulgent, like many suns. And devotees also, by their connection with Krishna, they also become effulgent. Just like there's one pastime of Prabhupada. Prabhupada had arrived in an airport, and one worker there saw Prabhupada, and he said, That man's glowing. He's glowing. That man's glowing. So Prabhupada, glowing. Yeah. He was glowing. Yeah. Effulgent. And devotees also, of course, Prabhupada, he's a Shaktivesh avatar, very, you know, very pure. But even devotees that have been practicing, so like there's one interesting pastime. I asked one devotee how he joined. He was a Prabhupada disciple. And he met the devotees and was practicing and distributing books, and then for whatever reason they got off books and they were doing paintings. And a lot of devotees back in the 80s, they were doing paintings, and he just fried out with paintings and he left the movement. And he joined the service, and he was just out there living life as a karmi. He went to one concert, musical concert we have in America. All over the country there's these big concerts, thousands of people show up. So this person was at one concert, and he saw one devotee distributing books. And this devotee was effulgent. And he was amazed. This person, he's glowing. And he walked up to him and said, you're glowing. And the devotee said, well, that's because I read these books. Yeah. And he handed him a book. And then it dawned on him, hey, these are the books of my spiritual master. He was in such maya. Yeah. I was initiated by Prabhupada. So from that, he picked up Krishna consciousness again. And this happened like maybe 20 years ago. So he's distributing books now. This Prabhupada disciple who had drifted away came back upon seeing the effulgence of this devotee, Taradas, some of you might know. So he was just so ecstatic distributing Prabhupada's books. Another time I asked one devotee how he joined. He said he was just in the city and he saw one devotee, and he said this devotee, he looked like an angel. He looked like an angel just come from heaven. He was just so bright and so effulgent and just so beautiful. So I bought a book from him and I loved the philosophy and just took it up. Prabhupada says in one purport, the most beautiful thing in the world is the Bhagavad Gita. Most beautiful thing in the world is the Bhagavad Gita. And who is it spoken by? It's spoken by the most beautiful person in all the creation. And people who read the Bhagavad Gita, they become beautiful. And those who distribute the Bhagavad Gita, they become more beautiful. So by coming in contact with Krishna, one becomes very effulgent. Because we have these material bodies, so many material desires, modes of nature, that effulgence is not there. In the spiritual world, everybody is effulgent. Why? Because everybody is Krishna conscious. And everybody there is their body. Here, we hear again and again how we're not the body. Right? But in the spiritual world, everybody is their body. Because they have spiritual bodies. We're not these material bodies, but when we get a spiritual body, we are that body. Just like Krishna, he is his body. He has a spiritual body. Yeah. So, the more we take seriously Krishna consciousness, the more we'll transcend this material nature. Srila Prabhupada says in one purport that as one practices Krishna consciousness, one enters into the mysterious region of transcendence. The mysterious region of transcendence. And that mysterious region of transcendence is devotional service. As long as we're on the material platform, we're in the gross region of material consciousness. So we're trying to pull away from this gross consciousness and enter into this mysterious region of transcendence. Nice region. Prabhupada was always in that region of transcendence. So here in the purport, Prabhupada says that Lord Shiva took upon him the force of Mother Ganges and drank an ocean of poison. So he was able to put the Ganges on his head. It was very forceful. And Lord Shiva, he was able to drink this ocean of poison. So Lord Shiva is a great, great, great personality. And he's also described as Vaishnavanam Itashambhu. He's the greatest Vaishnava. Extremely exalted Vaishnava. So we can't imagine how exalted he is. And Prabhupada goes on in the purport, he says, he gave supreme respect, Bali Maharaj gave supreme respect to the Supreme Lord. So generally we're not raised and given respect to the Supreme Lord. I remember when I was 12 years old, I was a little arrogant kid. I remember saying, I'll never bow down to anybody. Puffed up little arrogant kid I was. And then Krishna revealed his powerful external energy to me, and I became very humbled. And then I bowed down to Krishna. Upon reading Bhagavad Gita, yeah, I found that here is someone to bow down to, Krishna. Because the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita is so, so wonderful. Amazing knowledge. So when Prabhupada went to New York City, because we didn't have any culture, although people were coming and hearing Prabhupada, nobody bowed down to Prabhupada. Although he was such an exalted Vaishnava. It's just not our culture in the West to bow down to people. You know, it's very unusual, actually, to bow down to somebody, isn't it? So, but then the devotees that were coming, they saw that Prabhupada was bowing down to the picture of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He would make an offering of bhoga to his guru, and Prabhupada would bow down. And they would see that again and again. And then they decided, you know, maybe we should bow down to him, to Prabhupada also. So then they started bowing down to Prabhupada. And it felt natural. They were learning, you know, by association of the Mahatma, Prabhupada. So some of the people that were hearing from Prabhupada in the place where he went before 26th Second Avenue, I think it was 76th Street or something like that. So they came to 26th Second Avenue and they saw devotees were bowing down to Prabhupada. And they were shocked, like, what is this? And one of them asked Swamiji at the time, why are they bowing down to you? What is this? And Prabhupada replied, just as you're thinking, why are they bowing down? They're thinking, why are you not bowing down? Such a great soul, you should bow down to. So this is, and in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he explains that the austerities of the body, the first austerity of the body is to bow down. Deva Dvija Guru Pragna. Bow down to God. Because in Kali, especially in Kali Yuga, we're so proud. You know, people don't want to bow down. So that's the austerity of the body. First austerity, bow down, be humble before God. Deva Dvija, bow down to the Brahmanas. Also, not just God, bow down to the Brahmanas. Deva Dvija Guru, to the Guru, bow down to the Guru. It's like we hear how Shrutakirti, he gave a nice talk a few nights ago. He said every time he would go into Prabhupada's room, he would pay obeisances. And he was sometimes, you know, every minute, because he's delivering prasadam, he'd come in every minute and deliver some, and every time he would bow down. And Prabhupada never said, no, it's not necessary, you know. No, it's good. Good training. Yeah, it's good training to bow down to the guru, to the brahmanas. There was one devotee, it was a Raghunath Das Goswami, he would bow down, was it, I think, 2,000 times a day to the devotees and 1,000 to the Lord every day. Yeah. Get some transcendental exercise, you know, bowing down a lot. So it's part of our culture to bow down. It's very good. Respect. David Bija, Guru Pragna Pujanam Socham, Eva, to be clean. It's an austerity to be clean. Yeah, Kali Yuga were so dirty. Yeah. It's like they have perfume now. The reason perfume came out is because in France, they would only bathe once a year. If you can imagine that. Once a year. Therefore, they came up with perfume because they were beginning to smell so bad. Believe it or not, they thought it was unhealthy to bathe. And that isn't it? That's why they didn't bathe except for once a year. I mean, geez, boy, it must have been real... terribly. That was a long time ago. Like the 1400s or something like that. 1200s, 1300s, 1400s. So that's how perfume came out. That probably helped a little bit, you know. So to be clean, it's an austerity. David Dvija Guru Pujanam Saucham Evaja Brahmacharyam Ahimsa Sha. This is the most difficult austerity of the body, is to be brahmachari. And therefore, when Bhishma took that vow that he would not marry, an unembodied voice came, "Your name is Bhishma." Bhishma means horrible vow. Because this is the highest pleasure in the material world is this sex desire. Yeah. So to refrain from that desire, it's a great austerity. Yeah. One has to have a higher taste. Visyav in yavartante naraha rasate rasarajam usopyasa paramdrisa nivartate. So if one doesn't have that higher taste of Krishna consciousness, it's impossible. Impossible. But it's such a higher taste. Krishna consciousness is such a higher taste. Therefore, Jamunacharya, he says, Yadavadhi Mamacheta Krishna Padaravinde Nava Navarasadami Runti Runti Masi Tadavadhi Bhattanari Sangame Smaryamani Bhavati Mukha Vikara Sustu Nistivanamcha. Now he was a king, so he was engaged in so much sinful activity. But he, by the preaching of devotees, he became a devotee. And he said, "Since I've been engaged in the service of Krishna, experiencing ever fresh pleasure at every moment, whenever I think of sex desire, my lips curl in distaste and I spit at the thought." The thought. He spits at the thought. Because he's got this higher taste. And this is the higher taste. This is what everybody is looking for. Everybody's looking for happiness. So this is there in Krishna consciousness. You can't find it anywhere else. And therefore there's so much frustration. The main disease in the world right now is stress. People are so frustrated. They're trying to be happy in so many different ways, but they're frustrated. They're stressed out. But devotees of the Lord, very happy. Krishna bhakti nishkama ateva shanta bhukti mukti siddhikami sakaliya shanta. Devotees are very peaceful. Why? Because they just want to serve Krishna. No anxiety. But bhukti mukti, siddhikami, sakaliya santa, people that want to satisfy their material desires. Bhukti mukti, they want mystic perfections. city commie, or just have so many material desires, they can't be peaceful. Devotees are peaceful. So many desires will come, but devotees let them go. Apoyamanam machalapati stam samundamapa santi tadvat kamayam papasanti sarve sasanti mapnoti nakama kami. One who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean which is ever being filled, alone achieves peace, and not the person who tries to satisfy such desires. So many desires will come. Devotees let them go. Some desires we want to hang on to, like the desire to distribute books. Don't let that desire go. Prabhupada was at one temple, and the temple president went to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, here at this temple we have a strong desire to distribute your books." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, very good. Don't let that desire go." So some desires we want to hang on to, this desire to chant the holy names of Krishna, to come to the morning program, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, associate with the devotees. Don't let these desires go. Some desires we want to get rid of immediately. There's interesting pastime. Prabhupada was at one temple. And Prabhupada had heard about this one brahmachari that was doing a lot of preaching around America. And this brahmachari happened to visit the same temple where Prabhupada was visiting. And one devotee pointed out, "Oh, Prabhupada, this is that brahmachari that's doing so much nice preaching, making a lot of devotees." So Prabhupada went up to him and said, "I've heard of your preaching. Do you want to take sannyas?" So the devotee said, "Yeah, all right." Back then it was very easy. It was an emergency. Prabhupada was giving sannyas to people that were 19 years old. Jayapataka Swami was 19. He made it all the way. All the way. So, Prabhupada said, "All right, come this afternoon. We'll discuss the sannyas ceremony." So the devotee said, "All right." So that afternoon he goes there to speak to Prabhupada. The secretary was there and he was screening. So the secretary said, "You have an appointment to see Prabhupada?" "Yeah." "Okay. And what are you going to see him about?" "I'm going to see him about my taking sannyas. I'm going to talk about the sannyas ceremony." And the secretary said, "You're going to take sannyas. Do you know what that means? That means the rest of your life, no sex. Do you ever have sex desire?" "Sometimes, I don't know. You might want to think about this. It's a big step." So they were talking. After about a half hour, they were discussing about who he should marry. So you had a change of heart there. So he didn't go see Prabhupada. The next day he called for this disciple. And Prabhupada asked him, "I thought you were going to come. We were going to discuss the sannyas ceremony." He said, "Well, Prabhupada, I was thinking maybe I should get married." "Who's been talking to you?" "Well, Prabhupada, your secretary." "Samasundar, get in here." "Why are you talking to my brahmacharis? He wanted to take sannyas, now he wants to get married. Why are you doing that?" He said, "Well, Prabhupada," he said, "sometimes he has sex desire." And Prabhupada made a very interesting comment now. He said, anybody that has a material body will have sex desire. So then Syamasundar said, oh, sorry, Prabhupada. So as long as we have these material bodies, that'll be there. And here, the example is there, Yamunacharya. He's such a great acharya. Even to this day, he's famous all over India. But still the thought would come. Interesting, huh? But because he has the higher taste, he would spit at the thought and he would just kick out the thought because he's got the higher taste. So even you become such a great acharya as Yamunacharya, still might be there, but because we have the higher taste. So we have to pray for that higher taste. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's very interesting that Bali Maharaj, actually this is in the third chapter, he lamented for Lord Indra. For Lord Indra. Because Lord Indra, he had the supreme personality of Godhead as his relative, his younger brother. And what did he pray for? The three worlds. How unfortunate. Vamanadeva, or he asked, or Vamanadeva, Indra asked Vamanadeva, asked for alms from Bali. The three worlds. Ask for the three worlds. What's the three worlds? That's nothing. As Dhruva Maharaj said, broken glass. It's just material. It's just matter. Why would he pray for such a thing? He could have prayed for pure devotional service. He could have experienced the ecstasy of devotional service. But he prays for broken glass, the three worlds, the upper, middle, and higher planetary system. How unfortunate. Amazing. Bali Maharaj is just lamenting. He's so unfortunate. So similarly, we come to Krishna consciousness and we have an opportunity to engage in pure devotional service and we pray for other things. We pray for other things. Material things. How unfortunate. How unfortunate. We should understand that the highest goal, the highest thing we could achieve is loving service to Krishna. Nothing else is going to satisfy us in this material world. Nothing. Nothing. Because we're spirit. And all the things in this material world that people are trying to do, it's just matter. Incompatible. Just like, matter, or just like oil and water, incompatible. Nothing in this world will fully satisfy. But Krishna will fully satisfy us if we give our life to Him. So here it's mentioned in the purport that Mali Maharaj, along with Lord Shiva, they were Mahajanas, great Mahajanas. And also, Bali Maharaj's grandfather, Mahajan, which is very interesting. Both of them were born in the family of demons. Dharanyakasipu, right? But they were also, both of these personalities were also in the category of being the best in one of the nine processes of devotional service. Bali Maharaj, he was the best at surrendering everything to Krishna. And what was Prahlad Maharaj best at? Remembering. So these two are two of the three that were in both categories. The other one was Sukadeva Goswami. He was the best at speaking. And he was also a Mahajan. So there's only three that were in both categories. And two of them were born into a family of demons. So that gives hope to us. Right? We were also born into demoniac families, right? And now, we're taken to Krishna consciousness. So there's hope. Narada Muni also. What was Narada Muni? Narada Muni, he was the son of a maidservant. Didn't know who his father was. Not a very high family he was born into. But his mother invited the great devotees to her home, and she served them, and he served them, and he begged for the remnants of the devotees. Yeah. So he was serving them, and he was taking the remnants of the devotees, and he became the great Narada Muni, one of the greatest devotees of all time. So it's all about service. It's all about service. Yeah. And therefore this meaning of this mantra, the Hare Krishna mantras, we're begging Krishna, please Krishna, engage me in your service. As Prabhupada said, please Krishna, accept me again. Please accept me again as your servant. Please engage me in your service. We had to beg Krishna, please help me to serve you. And when we become humble, menial servants of Krishna, then we'll be very, very happy. Like Bali Maharaj. So happy. He was in ecstasy serving Lord Vamanadeva. So there's a few minutes left. Is there any questions or comments?
So normally when we think of demons, we think all bad qualities, you know, that's a demon. The descriptions of their Bhagavad Gita, the demonic qualities. So Bali Maharaj is considered the king of the demons. How is it that he has such good qualities to recognize Lord Vamanadeva, many ways to appreciate him, and pretty much actually exhibited qualities of godliness, and then he's considered a demon. So when you think of demons, it might get a little confused.
Well, because he was born into a demoniac family, Hiranyakasipu, you know, one of the biggest demons ever seen. So because of that, he's considered to be a demon. And the divine qualities came out because Prahlad Maharaj, you know, his grandfather. And although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a demoniac family, by the mercy of Narada Muni, he got to hear the absolute truth. And it's described, I forget which Purana, that the reason that Prahlad Maharaj was in that situation where he could hear from Narada Muni was previously he was engaged in licentious activities. He was with his girlfriend and some remote place, and they got in some argument, and she got upset, and she left, and he got upset, and he was just thinking, he was so upset, he was fasting. But that place where he was fasting, that was previously a temple, that area right there. So because he was fasting there, where there's previously a temple, he got the benefit of fasting there at a temple. So because of that pious activity, he was in a situation where he could hear from Narada Muni. Kind of esoteric, but yes, Krishnamurti, the microphone is just now coming. It's interesting that Krishnamurti, when I joined the temple, he was the head cook back in the late 70s in Miami. And Panchagoda, he was a Sankirtan leader, so we got a little bit of Miami here. Yeah. Oh, boy, you get me going on that, you know. We want people to take prasad of me, you know. Just one? All right. Two. All right. I was distributing books door to door in Australia. And I knocked on the door, and a man answered the door. He saw I had the Bhagavad Gita. And he said, "No, I'm not interested. I worship Satan." I said, "Oh, you worship Satan? This is about God. So you should know your enemy." So he said, "All right, good point. All right, I'll take one." So he gave a nice donation, took a Bhagavad Gita. I was distributing in the Miami airport, and this family came. I was talking to a husband, wife, a little daughter maybe 8 years old. And the lady really wanted the book. She was very interested. So she didn't have any money. She asked her husband, "Please, give me some money. I want to read this book." He said, "Nah, you're not going to read it. Come on, let's go." No, I want to read the book. Give him a donation. "Nah, you're not going to read it. It's just going to sit on the bookshelf. You'll never read it. Come on, let's go." No, I want to read the book. "Nah, come on, let's go." She got so upset that she just walked away. Now the little girl and the husband is standing there. And the little girl looks up at her father and says, "Daddy, I hate you." You can imagine, the guy felt a little bad after that. So he reached into his pocket and gave $10 to me. And then the little girl grabbed the book and you're running down the aisle, Mommy, I got the book. I hope that didn't cause a divorce. Thank you very much. See the Prabhupada Ki Jai.